I am with the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. I am the Director of Technical Assistance and Finance, and we'll be going briefly over the NOFA, and then we'll be able to answer any questions that participants may have at the after the conclusion of the call. So hopefully the majority of you did go ahead and download the NOFA that did come out in the Federal Register on January 23rd. And the funds that are announced in this award are specifically for the capital portion of the VA's Homeless Providers Grant and Per Diem program. Funds under this grant can be used for acquisition, renovation, or construction to create housing for homeless veterans. And for those of you who are familiar, per diem only will not be covered under this funding. If you apply for capital grants, then you will be eligible to receive per diem if you receive the capital funds, but this is not a per diem only grant application. The deadline for this application to be submitted to the Grant Per Diem office in Florida is going to be March 25th at 4 p.m. Eastern time, so please take note that it is not the typical close of business day. It is 4 p.m. on Wednesday, March 25th. The application must be sent via hard copy, and it cannot be faxed. So you have to send it in to the Grant Per Diem office. It is located in Tampa, Florida, and you must send 3 copies plus the original in 1 completed envelope. Your whole entire application must be included for you, to be considered eligible for this grant. You will also need to submit a cover letter that will state which funding priority you were going to be applying under, and I'll go over those briefly in a few minutes. But there is no leeway in regards to the application deadline. If you do not receive those, if they do not receive your application on time, then you will not be considered for funding. And it must be a complete application, meaning if you have letters of support, all of the documents that are required within that application, and there is a checklist within the downloaded materials that you can look at. If you're looking at the application, underneath the VA general application, it's the application assembly checklist. It's located on page 41 of the first submission. All of those documents must be included within your application when you mail it in, and they must go in the same envelope. If you are missing any of those documents, then you will not be deemed to have a complete application, and it will not be moved forward for scoring. The funds for this particular notice are for expand existing transitional housing projects. And when we say transitional projects, we're talking 24 months. And the term expanding means if you currently receive funding from the Department of Veterans Affairs under the Grant Per Diem program, for instance, if you're receiving funds for 20 beds, you would be eligible to receive funds for additional beds, but not for those particular beds you're already getting monies for. The second is to develop new transitional housing programs. So these would be for all of the individuals who do not have current Grant Per Diem funding. If you have never received funding before, or if this particular program has not received funding before, then you would be considered new. When they talk about supportive service centers, that will not be considered here, but what they are referring to is a location where services will be offered but not housing. So here they're talking about transitional housing projects that include housing and services. Your housing can be located, for instance, on an upper floor of a building or where your case management and all of your services are located, perhaps on the first floor or in a different section of the building. But there must be a housing component to that as well as the services. So it's a combination of the two, and you must have both of those in order to be eligible for this. The funds can be used for remodeling or alteration of an existing building, acquisition of a building, acquisition and rehabilitation of a building, or new construction. And then funds can also be used for acquisition of vans, as long as they are in conjunction with a new grant and per diem project. So those vans must be used within a new project, and they must be used for transportation of the homeless veterans within your project. So if you are in a rural area or if you're in a place where transportation is a problem, then you would be interested in applying for a van. You don't necessarily, in this instance, if you're applying for a new program and you're applying for a van, then you would apply for both components of that application. The van is still underneath the capital portion, and you still have a 65% match for that particular piece. So, I'm sorry, the VA will match 65% of the cost of the van. You will still have to match the 35%. So vans are an eligible activity underneath this notice, but you still have to have the match requirement, and you will need to fill out the necessary application, the necessary portion of the application. One thing to note, and a lot of times people get confused about this if this is their first time, is that permanent housing is not eligible. The VA will pay for services and housing of a veteran up to 24 months. After 24 months, the veteran is not eligible to receive per diem payments. So keep that in mind when you're developing and thinking about how you're going to plan your project. 24 months is the maximum that an individual could be enrolled in the program underneath the grant and per diem. It's also important that you look at the fact that they specifically state that if a program is going to shift its focus and start serving homeless veterans, you will not be able to displace those individuals in order to make room for the veterans. Excuse me. When you're looking at the overall population that you're going to be serving, 75% of the beds or people that are enrolled in your program must be veterans. The other 25% can be family members, can be children, can be just the general homeless population. But 75% must be considered veterans. So, for instance, if you receive funding for a 100-bed program, 75 of those beds must be for veterans. The other 25 can be for, like I mentioned, can be for the family members, significant others, or just general homeless population. On the flip side, you can also have it be a veteran-specific program where all 100 of those beds are for veterans. But if you're looking to have a mixed population, it has to be at least 75% veteran-specific. See. There is $15 million available underneath this grant component. They're looking to fund around 35 programs, and they are looking to fund these programs throughout the country. This program is a highly competitive grant process, and you're competing not only with individuals in your state and local area, but also across the country. So if you're located in Dallas, Texas, you're competing against individuals in Dallas as well as across the state and across the country. So it's very important that you make sure that you understand the application, that you download all of the materials, and that you fully fill out everything so that way you have the most complete application and that your application will be read completely and scored appropriately. As I mentioned, the funds here are going to be offset the cost of capital expenses to nonprofit organizations, local governments, Indian tribal governments, faith-based and community-based organizations that are looking to support transitional housing. The key here is that if you are an organization that considers themselves a nonprofit, you have to have the designation from the IRS before you submit your application. One of the things that you're going to have to submit is your determination letter from the IRS stating that you have fulfilled all of the requirements in order to become a nonprofit. If you've applied and not received that letter from the IRS, unfortunately, you won't be eligible to receive funding under this go-around. You have to have the letter when you submit your application. So if you don't have that, I would suggest that you keep working on your application, and when the next round that comes out, that you'll have that taken care of. But you have to have that letter before you can submit. You do have to match the funds for the capital portion of the application with 35% of your total budget. Now, the key here is that when you submit your budget, and those forms are included in the application, it's the budget of the whole entire project. So an example here would be is you're purchasing land, and then you're building a building on that land. So it would be the cost of purchasing the land and also of the cost of how much it would cost to build a building on that land. So it's the combination of those two that would be your total budget. So you will have, you know, you will have multiple aspects within that budget, but you want to make sure that everything that you think will be included in your total cost are in that budget, because what you submit to the VA is what you will be targeted for. So if you come to find out 6 months into your project that it's going to cost more than you originally budgeted, unfortunately the VA will only pay what was submitted into your budget. So that was originally submitted in your budget. So you want to make sure that you've planned accordingly and that you have the appropriate amounts within your financing. Let's see. Once you are selected, you will be conditionally selected after the first submission. If you are selected for the second submission, they will ask you to confirm the fact that you have the 35% match, and they will ask you to confirm site control as well as some different information that will be sent to you within your, within a letter. And you'll have around 2 to 3 weeks to resubmit that application. And once that they deem that you have all of the information needed to move forward, then they will approve your application. So you will be required pretty quickly to show where you're going to get those funds from. The funds can and should come from a source it can be from a source that's eligible that states if you receive funds from the VA, you will get a match from XYZ Corporation or XYZ Foundation. That is considered a match because they're confirming or agreeing to the fact that the VA gives you funds, then they will give you funds. You must be careful here because your match cannot consist of other federal dollars. So when looking here, you're going to want to look at other private foundations or non-federal dollars. There are some things that can be allowed and have been allowed, but some of those are very few and far between. For the most part, you cannot match with federal dollars. The thing you want to keep in mind when you're looking at this application, if you're a new organization that's just starting to work with homeless veterans, is that veterans tend to have, in particular homeless veterans, tend to have multiple issues when dealing with the homeless. As some of you may know, as you've worked with them for many years, some of their needs are specific based on their military service, and so they have quite a bit of medical and physical needs that you must be taking into consideration when you are working and setting up a plan for serving them. The biggest thing you want to do is to work with your local VA, and if you haven't started working with them, you want to get in contact with them as soon as possible, because an integral part of the scoring is your connection and relationship with the VA. There is a VA liaison at every one of your medical centers that will help manage and will be the fiscal manager of the grant once you do receive the funds. So I would encourage you to make contact now and get to know that individual, as they will be able to answer questions for you before you submit the application, as well as be able to serve as an organization that can verify that you are in fact working with veterans and that it is a truly collaborative effort. You should know that you have to meet all of the things that are within your application. So, for instance, when you send in your application and state that you're going to serve 20 veterans, you must serve 20 veterans. Everything that you say you're going to do in your grant must be fulfilled. I know it sounds like a funny thing to say. However, it's pretty much this is your one shot at letting them know what you're going to do. And this is your opportunity to get it correctly. So when you submit your goals and objectives and all of those types of things, you're going to want to make sure that those are achievable and that you've not gone so high that you can't do that. Because if you're unable to reach your goals within a certain amount of time, the VA will pull your funding and you will not be able to receive the per diem and your project may not be able to be completed. The one other thing that I want to have everyone keep in mind is that once your project is funded and you've received funding, you will go through a site inspection, and you must be able to pass the life fire safety codes that are set by your local VA liaison, and they can give you a copy of those. You can walk through those and know exactly what you're going to meet. for example, you know, all of your ADA requirements. But another one that a lot of people sometimes think, especially if you're renovating an old building, is that you must have sprinklers in the building. And there is no exception for that, and you must have those installed before the building is up and running. There are, have been instances where people have received funding, built the whole entire project, but as soon as the project was supposed to go live and the inspection was supposed to happen, they did not pass inspection and therefore were not able to open and serve veterans. So it is something you want to make sure that you do and that you are aware of for this, is that you are going to have to pass that inspection before you can be up and running. The the priorities that we're gonna that are covered underneath this grant, there are two. That there is one that is going to cover the priority number one is for specifically for women and women with dependent children who programs who are going to serve them and have 30 beds or less. There is approximately $2 million will be awarded underneath this category. So this is for individuals who are going to be serving women only with dependent children, and you'll have a fairly small program with 30 beds or less. If this is where your organization would fall in, then you would let them know that you are going to be applying within the first round, the first priority in your cover letter to let them know exactly what it is. Doesn't mean you have to fall into this funding priority. It just means that this is one of their funding priorities with $2 million attached to it. This is $2 million of the $15 million. The second funding priority is to Indian tribal governments or nonprofits that will be serving Indian tribal property or will be serving or providing services on Indian tribal property. So if you were going to be serving the American Indian population, this is where you would want to apply. There's approximately $1 million awarded in this category, and this is one of the priorities that's usually always listed here. And I would encourage any of you that are serving or looking to serve the American Indian population that this is a great opportunity for you to get in and be able to do that. The third priority is any organization, state or local government, faith-based and community-based organizations, as well as any other entities that are eligible that will be serving and providing transitional housing and services for homeless veterans. So this would encompass all of the other programs that may be there. So if you're looking at serving men with dependent children or just general men or a mixed population, then you would apply for funds underneath this priority. There's approximately $12 million in this general priority. So there is a little bit more funding in this group here, and this is where the majority of the applications will come in is within this funding priority. The important thing that you should keep in mind, too, is the scoring application. Once you submit your application to the VA, and remember the deadline that your application has to get there by March 25th at 4 p.m., that the grant office will look at it and make sure that it's a complete application. All of the forms are signed. Everything is taken care of. You have all of the proper documents as well as a completed application. It's called what a threshold review is. Once that happens, they will put it aside, and once all of the applications have been submitted, the grant review team will meet, and what happens is your application will be read 3 to 5 times by individuals who work in the homeless area. They will not be from your general geographic location. Some of these individuals tend to be case managers. Some of them tend to be program managers, budgeting people. They kind of run the gamut. So they are a little bit familiar with what types of services are being offered, but they may not be directly familiar with your area and your program. So what's going to happen is it will be read 3 to 5 times, and it will be scored independently. There is an application score that is listed within the application, and it is going to be in the appendices. There is a possible 1,200 points, and you must receive points in certain criteria, and you must and you must receive points in these areas in order to receive funding. And these categories include either the targeting stability and how you're going to meet your goals and objectives. All of those are listed on page 8 of the rules and regulations at section 61.13. It's titled Rating Criteria for Capital Grant Applications, and it goes through exactly how your application will be scored and how much and how many points will be given to each one of those things. This is important because you, you know, obviously you're going to have to score these points within those, and your project plan is probably one of the biggest point things that you have. It's worth 300 points. This is where you're going to describe the quality of the project, your project design, how are you going to serve your veterans, explain your goals and objectives, and ensure that how you're going to meet those goals. This is how you're going to show that your organization is going to be successful. This is probably the most important part of your application, is that how you're going to serve veterans from the time they walk in from your organization to the time they walk out, and this is your chance to show the VA exactly what you're looking to do. one of the other things that's really important is how you show collaboration with other programs, not only the VA, which is a vital piece to this, but other organizations in your area. Are you going to be working with your local food banks? Are you going to be working with your local community colleges? How are you going to get the best services to these group of veterans that you're going to be working? Your VA offices, your USOs, your VSOs, all of the organizations that provide services to veterans, both veteran-specific as well as mainstream services, how are you going to incorporate them within to your program to provide the most number of services for the least amount of cost to these veterans? Something that's also very important, and this goes into the scoring aspects of this, is that you must talk about your site control and the leveraging that you have with funding. If you're able to show and can secure funds when you submit your original application, even if it's just a commitment from an organization, as I mentioned earlier, that states, if you receive funding from the VA, we will match that 35%. Then that's considered a match, and it's considered leveraging. You will get extra points for that, and it will be considered favorable in that. The other thing you want to make sure is that you have site control. The first thing, and usually the preference of the VA, is for you to purchase the land. However, if you are looking to do and go into a long-term lease with the landlord or another entity, for instance, the city or something along those lines, you can go into a long-term lease with them. Usually those are 15 to 20 years, depending on the funding, and those must be signed before that they will release any of those funds. it's important for them to know that they'll be able to control that site and have the program be able to be run within that site throughout the longevity of the program. You want to make sure that your program is cost effective. Is the cost per bed efficient, and does it make sense to the types of services that you are offering? You'll do better if you can show cost per bed is lower with your program than just typical mainstream services, which is often the case here. So make sure you look through the scoring pieces there, as I discussed, and know that once your application is read 3 to 5 times, you'll receive an overall score from each of those individuals, and then your application will be ranked based on that total score from those individuals. The VA will then fund based on those scores and will fund all of the programs for the funds that they have asked until the funds have run out. If there is not, for instance, underneath the priorities, if there's not $1 million worth of funding $2 million underneath priority one, then that money will be put into the third category of funding. So in the third category, which is the general population, there will be at least 12, but there's a possibility that there would be some additional funds within that. The VA is looking to create around 1,000 beds within 35 programs for this project. I always get asked what's the typical amount that they do give. In most instances, you want to keep in mind that the total for this project is $15 million, and you look about how that's spread out against 15 projects for 1,000 beds. You want to make sure that your project is pretty cost-effective there. The VA has in the past funded projects that were roughly $1 million, but they have funded projects as small as $200,000 and $300,000 as well. So size is obviously the biggest factor there, but you want to make sure that you're not asking for too much of the funds and not leave the opportunity for other organizations to apply for that. So kind of some of the real key things here, and then I'm going to open up to questions and see if people have specific questions, is that the deadline for this is March 25th, 2009. Your application must be submitted to the VA Grant Per Diem office by 4 p.m. I suggest some sort of delivery confirmation, FedEx, UPS, something along those lines so that you know that your application was in fact received on that date. You want to submit original plus 3 copies. Of course, keep a copy in your office. So that way, if there is any problems, you will have access to that information and can resubmit it if need be. And you want to make sure that you go through that checklist that's included within the application. As I mentioned before, it's on page 41 of the first submission, that all of these things are included within your application and that everything is complete and signed and dated. There is no empty or lacking materials there. You also want to include a cover letter stating which priority that you're looking to be considered in, and you must also include that you submit all of these things in one particular application, that your cover letter goes with your application and that the cover letter just doesn't go by themselves. So they must all be submitted together. Once your application is submitted and they have conditionally selected, you'll be notified. Typically, you know, it depends on what they're looking to do. But since the funding cycle does begin in the October timeframe, funding would be awarded October, September in that timeframe. Probably guessing that July, August, you'll be asked for the second submission, if not sooner. And once that happens, it's about 2 to 3 weeks before final approval is done. All in all, it's probably about 120 days from when the due date of the application is to when final funding is announced in a press release. So it's a pretty quick turnaround once you do submit that application, but you will be followed and notified in the process of your application once it has been submitted. You will receive a confirmation from the VA office letting you know that your application was received and that it was considered complete and it will be scored. After that, you'll either be sent a letter letting you know that you have been conditionally selected and you're going to submit the second submission, or that your application was denied. That's kind of the process there. Two key notes there is that if you are not funded, you can ask for a grant review, meaning that you can ask them where your application lacked funds, lacked the scoring, and they can go over that with you and let you know exactly where you can improve on in the past. The second thing is here at NCHV, we can also offer that as well. If you're having questions as you fill out the application, please feel free to let me know, and I can answer any questions that I can. But if you do not receive funding, we can also go over that once your application has been submitted and you have received some feedback from the Grant Per Diem office. I think at this point I'm going to go ahead and open it up to questions. We'll take as many questions as we possibly can, and then if you do need to follow up, I will give my contact information before we conclude for this call. So at this time, I'd like to go ahead and open it up for questions. The operator is going to come on and let you guys know how we can go ahead about how you can go about asking questions.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone now, and you will be placed into the queue in the order received. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press pound. We are now ready to begin. Our first question comes from Gladys Stewart. Please state your question.
Yes, my question is, what was the person's name we were speaking to again?
My name is Melanie Lilliston, and I work with the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans.
Melanie Milliston?
Lilliston. It's L-I-L-L-I-S-T-O-N. My email address is N-C-H-V-5.
V like in Victor?
That's correct. At N-C-H-V www.ncsa.org.
Okay. Can I just get one question or can I ask another one?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Will there be a meeting in Baltimore, Maryland, do you know, before we submit the grant?
We will not be providing an on-site training in Baltimore before the actual application will be submitted. At this time, we don't have anything scheduled, no.
Oh, okay. But I can check with the liaison there if I need some help with filling out any of the paperwork or just call you.
Either or would be fine, depending on what your question may be. I can direct you, or if you have specific questions, you can direct them towards the VA as well, however you'd like to do.
Okay. And then based on the size of the rooms, can there be two persons in one room?
Yes, there are not particular requirements in regards to how many individuals can be in a room. Some buildings are set up in a dormitory-style type facility. However, keep in mind that there may be specific regulations within your life and fire safety codes that you're going to want to take a look at and make sure that you are going to meet those. So it is possible to have two individuals share a common bedroom with, access to a communal-type restroom, those types of things.
Okay. And then you need a separate space for the case managers. Is that what you said?
Right. You have to keep in mind that it's housing plus services. So individuals
okay.
are going to be work. So if you know, it can take many forms and different ways of however you decide to set it up. However, know that yes, you'll probably need a confidential area of where you can have case management. Classes can be held. You can have your meetings and those types of things. So yes, there typically is an office facility in the building where the individuals are living.
Okay. And then when is the next conference call? Is it going to be the same thing that you talked about today or something different?
We're going to be having a conference call tomorrow that will be going into more detail about the actual application. Today I just kind of went over the specifics of this NOFA. So if you have more questions or would like to participate in more calls, we have two or three others specifically on how to fill out the grant per diem application. You can find that information on our website, which is www.nchv.org. On the right-hand side, you'll see a graphic that says NCHV conference calls.
Uh-huh.
When you click on that, it'll list all of the calls that we have scheduled.
Okay, so it's www.nchv.org.
That's correct.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh.
Our next question comes from Daniel Thompson.
Hello, how are you doing? I represent the Veterans Freedom House of America, and this may be off base, but I need to know what criteria do you fund a pilot program, or what constitutes a pilot program under this new grant program?
Okay, the VA doesn't typically I don't know what you term the word pilot program, but
something that hasn't been done or attempted in the area of Miami and South Florida.
Okay, that would just be considered a new program, and you would apply for funding under this project as a new project.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? Okay.
Our next question comes from Lois Perkins. Please state your question.
My question is reference to the life and safety code.
Mm-hmm.
You stated that if it was a facility, you had to have sprinklers. What if it's a house? You have
yes.
to have sprinklers
mm-hmm.
in the house.
Yes, that's also going to be something that you're going to have to look at. My suggestion is to contact your liaison, and you can find out who that is through your homeless coordinator. We have a link, and I'll put the link up on our homepage, on our website, out with the notes on this call, and you would contact them and get a specific list from them. The short answer of that is yes. However, some localities, that varies place to place, but in most instances, the answer is yes.
Even though they're not required in the city where the facility will be?
Yes, because you are going to be subject to the VA Life Fire Safety Codes. They're different than often from your local locality. However, keep in mind that if you do have to put something like that in, it can be covered under renovation cost and can be included within your overall budget.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Question comes from Paul Ostenberg.
Hi, I'm helping somebody in Gary put together an application, and the question that we have is whether you'd get more points by having signed linkage agreements that sort of say, here's what we, the sponsor, will do, here's what you will do as an organization, or whether we can just have informal relationship letters.
I would encourage you to have MOUs, how specific
MOUs.
And how contractually you want to hold those. I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with MOUs. Those can be pretty broad or they can be very specific. It's up to your organization to decide how you want to do that. However, I highly suggest that you do have those and that you include those within your application.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Question comes from Jeff Patterson.
Yeah, hi there. I have a question timeline related. Is there a date by which veterans must be housed in the sense of, let's say you're building a new facility or you're planning a new facility or you're expanding, do veterans need to be living in the facility by a specific date to be eligible for this project?
Yes, there is a time limit on when the funds, typically the time limit is how long it is the project will last. One of the things you're going to want to make sure you include is the timeline of when your project will start construction and when it will conclude. There is some guidance on that information, and it kind of varies project by project. The main limitations that I am aware of is if once you begin to draw the funds, there is a time limit of how long it must take for that project to be completed. The other limitation is if your project is unable to draw funds for various reasons, you don't have site control, you don't have matching dollars, whatever it may be, there is a time limit of 3 years of when you're awarded to when you must draw down funds in order for you to still be eligible.
Okay. As far as specific written materials relating to the timeline, where could I find that?
Sure. If you look underneath the guidance, the rules and regulations, underneath the probably section 61.67, the recovery provisions, that may answer some of your questions. And then this would be one that I would refer directly to the VA Grant Per Diem Office because they do have specific guidance, and a lot of it is based on budget numbers. And you can reach them directly. They have a 1-800 number. It's 1-877-332-0334.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Melanie, that was our last question in queue.
Okay. I know everyone, be mindful of everyone's time. I'm going to give my email address once again. We will be submitting and sending out the notes from this call as well as a link to the homeless coordinators and the actual application and a recording of this call. So if you do have questions as you proceed through or if something comes up to you in the next day or so, I'd be happy to answer those questions. I will be in the office the remainder of this week for the majority of tomorrow and Friday, and I'll be in the office next week as well. So be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Once again, my email address is nchv5@nchv.org. My name is Melanie, and you can reach me via phone at 202-546-1969. If there aren't any more questions, I will go ahead and close the call and wish everyone the best of luck filling out the application. And as I mentioned, don't be afraid to ask questions. I've been doing this for a while, and one of the things I always say is the dumb question is the one that you don't ask and you fill out the wrong thing. So feel free to contact me, and I'd be glad to help in any way I can. If there are no more questions, I think we'll go ahead and close here.
Melanie, pardon the interruption. We actually do have one more question.
Okay, sure. No problem. Go ahead.
It comes from Paul Ostenberg.
Okay.
This question has to do with how well-developed your program has to be. And in our response to Area 1-2C, increasing the skill level and income of participants, what I've said, but I don't think is very strong, is we'll develop policies and procedures for how we're actually going to evaluate our success. Will they penalize us for not having those developed, and would we be better off not saying we haven't done something yet when we know it's got to be done eventually, but we just haven't gotten to that point in the process yet?
Well, this comes to a planning aspect. My first thing would be is in order for your program to be successful and deemed worthy, since it is such a competitive process, is that your plan should be to the point where you can answer those questions sufficiently. If your organization is not at that point, perhaps it would be best to wait until the next round of funding, because if you're creating a new project and you're unable to answer those questions within the application, then most likely the people that are reading that are going to feel that your organization is not prepared in order to, you know, fully work with those individuals. So as much as possible, my suggestion would be to flush through and think how you're going to do that. Even if it's we're going to start this way, we're going to have an evaluation after 6 weeks and decide if this is correct, at least you're giving options and then letting them know that there could be availability to change that in the future. When you're talking about employment and those types of things, simple things could be, we'll have a simple basic computer test when individuals come in to provide and gain a competence level. And at the end, we'll also give them the same test, and we'll see, this is where your goals and objectives will come in. So you might say we'll have an 85% increase in the amount of knowledge that computer use would have. That may be a little bit high, but depending on your population, that may be on par. But those are the types of things you're going to want to take a look at and at least provide some instances of where exactly you're going to be providing services in that regard.
Thanks. That's very helpful.
Okay. Are there any other? Sure.
There sure are. Our next question comes from Gladys Stewart. Please state your question.
Yes. Can you repeat your phone number again, please?
Sure. It's 202 546 1969.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Daniel Thompson.
Yeah, I need to let. I can't seem to get the last part of your email address.
It's nchv5 nchv.org.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And Melanie, there are no further questions in queue.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everyone for their time and wish you the best of luck when you do end up applying for, if you do end up applying for the application. We are going to be having calls in the next couple of weeks going into much more specifics on the grant application and how to fill it out, scoring, and those types of things, and providing some tips and tools within that. So I would encourage you to take a look at our website, which is nchv.org. On the right-hand side, there's an icon that says NCHV Conference Calls. If you click on that, it gives you a list of all of the calls that we're going to be offering in the next couple of weeks, and I would encourage you to listen in if you are looking for some more information on the actual application itself, as well as if you would like some more knowledge about the grant process as well. If you do have questions as you go through, please feel free to give me a call or an email, and I'd be happy to address anything that you may have concerns about. But I wish everyone the best of luck, and have a great rest of your day. Thank you.